in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. Imbrasconde ke palatina, rokopote zebila tatai, ikumba la sinde breketea. We honor you, we adore you, we glorify your name, in Jesus' name. God bless you. You are welcome to day 5 of our 14-day mid-year mega harvest fasting and prayer exercise. You might be seated in heavenly places. Praise God. I started a powerful teaching series in the course of this 14-day daily encounters with the Lord of the Harvest. Hallelujah. Malikobo Sabaladia. The Power of Priestly Sacrifices, Part 3. Right? The Power of what? Priestly Sacrifices, Part 3. You know, you must be sensitive to the times and seasons that we are in to take advantage of the times and seasons. It requires spiritual sensitivity. Praise God. I say praise God. I say praise God. To take advantage of the times and season, you must have enough discernment, the wisdom to discern the times and season in order to maximize it. Am I communicating? You know, something can come to each season that is supposed to occur, but if you are not discerning enough, if you lack spiritual discernment and sensitivity, you will be surprised that the season can come and pass without you taking advantage of all that God have ordained for you to receive in that season. May that not be your portion in Jesus' name. The Bible talked about the children of Issachar, 1 Chronicles 12:32. It says, they what? Understood the times and seasons. They had understanding of the times. They had the wisdom for discernment. And because of that, they what? They were commanders. They were in charge of their brethren. You see, understanding the times and season is what puts you in command. The Bible says, the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. Not just what Israel wants to do. Not just what is in vogue. Not just what is what everybody is doing, what is trendy. No, what Israel ought to do. They knew, they could discern the mind of God. They could discern the will of God. They could discern what heaven is saying. The operations of God, the acts of God, the demands of God per time, per season. And as a result, they were what? They were heads, you see. They became leaders. They became leaders. They were in command. Because if you know what to do per time, per season, people will come to you. People will seek you. you become an influencer. Am I communicating? People will seek leadership and guidance from you. Praise God. Are you aware that we are in a season of supernatural harvest? The word God gave us as a ministry for this year is that this is our year of supernatural harvest. Are you aware this is a season of mega harvest? Are you discerning enough to take advantage of what God is doing? Am I communicating? If I were you, I'll go back to that January messages. All the series on provoking supernatural, all of, from the first down, including the one we taught during that initial 14 days. This is a time to revisit it. Let me tell you something, the spiritual things can be very slippery. You have to hold it tight. You have to keep insisting. You have to go back to those prophetic words. You have to war with them. You have to keep. It takes a continual insistence. You have to use them to fight the good fight of faith. You need to war with them in prayer. Year in, year out, different churches. God will give some, is genuine, God gave, but some will just cook up something. The theme for the year is XYZ. People will be excited in January. By February, the thing is dropping. The excitement level is dropping. By March, by April, they've started forgetting. By June, many of them have even lost touch with the theme for the year. So that's why you have to go back. Go back, go back, go back, go back, go back. Am I communicating? Go back to those prophetic words that were released for this year, year of supernatural harvest. Go back to those messages. If you don't want those things to just slip, I told you spiritual things can be very slippery. Am I communicating? You fight the good fight of faith with them. You meditate on those prophetic words and the scriptures that go with them. Then you put it in your heart and in your mouth in two places. You put it in your heart. You put it in your mouth. Am I communicating? He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Thou shalt meditate on it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written. For then thou shalt make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success. So it's your responsibility. Am I communicating? God will never do for you what he instructed you to do, even though he will give you the grace to do it. But you must do it. Am I communicating? It's up to you. Go back to those things. So keep insisting, sit with them. Are you getting me? Aya, likobo lambalataya. You war with them in prayer. You use them to fight the good fight of faith. You keep declaring them. You keep prophesying. You pray in tongues and prophesy. You pray in tongues and prophesy. You pray in tongues and activate the anointing and release the supply of the Spirit. And then you start prophesying. You start declaring. Am I communicating? Very important. Very, very important. Go back to those things. Latiko balataya. If I were you, self, every single month of the year, I will be reviewing those things. I'll be going back to them. Because let me tell you something. Human beings easily forget. It's a natural weakness in human beings. They forget. They can forget easily. Why do you think in scripture you will keep hearing the word remember? Have you ever counted how many times that word happened? That word remember. 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 Forget not. Forget not. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And forget not all his benefits. Because human beings have tendency to forget. Remember Lot's wife. Because they have tendency to forget. And thou shalt remember the Lord your God. For it is he that giveth the power to get. You see, you will see that word remember. Forget not. Because God knows that human being can easily forget. So, it is up to you to choose not to forget. To constantly remind yourself what God have said about 2023, those prophetic words, supernatural, it must become my experience. Am I communicating? It's up to you. That's why I say go back to those messages in January. Re-listen to them. Get those prophetic words. If you, in fact, copy it, type it out, put it on your walls. Are you getting me? Sit down with those scriptures. Keep insisting. There are things to do to activate prophecies. I've taught you. Am I communicating? Very important. Baletoba is a season of supernatural harvest. I say it's a season of mega harvest. Lekobota. And guess what? Don't be looking gloomy and dull. Season, harvest time is a time of joy. Seasons of harvest are characterized with joy. Give me Isaiah 9 verse 3, media. Isaiah 9 verse 3. Give me, you know, NIV. And then we'll look at New Living Translation. NIV and NLT. Harvest time is a season of great joy. He said, ye have enlarged the nation. And by the way, supernatural increase is your portion. It's also a season of supernatural increase. With harvest comes supernatural increase. With harvest comes supernatural increase. Oh, Ligo Balakidas, Brandeke Poska Palagidas. I prophesy supernatural increase for you. Supernatural financial increase. Irrespective of the economy, irrespective of the economic famine, irrespective of the rising cost of things, I prophesy your finances will rise faster and higher than the inflation. It will rise faster and higher. Your income is increasing. In the name of Jesus, supernaturally, I prophesy supernatural growth in this season of harvest, supernatural increase. In the name of Jesus, multiplication, supernatural fruitfulness. Ilokabataya, is there out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry. And we multiply them, they shall not be few. And we glorify them, they shall not be small. I prophesy, receive financial increase. Receive supernatural increase all round. In your finances, in your business, in your family, in your ministry, in HMI, in the name of Jesus. Supernatural increase. Supernatural increase. Supernatural growth. Kalitobora palataya. That was one of the things God showed me this morning. I saw that increase coming. So much increase. Even in number. I stood there, I was teaching. And then, I saw people all over. I couldn't even see the end. I saw so, and then I saw increase in finances. And I hear the Lord say, it's a season of abundant increase. You see, he say, this is our year of supernatural harvest. And with that harvest comes abundant increase. I'm telling you, your finances are somersaulting. Your finances is experiencing an upsurge. Get ready for financial explosion. Get ready for increase all around. Supernatural increase. I prophesy supernatural church growth. Numerical increase for AGMI. Financial increase. Spiritual growth all round increase. Increase in impact. Increase in influence. In the name of Jesus. He said, you have enlarged the nation. It's a season of restful enlargement. 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 He said, enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. He says, spare not. He said, lengthen thy cords. Strengthen thy say. For thou shalt break forth to the right and to the left. Get ready to break forth on every side. Kalido barakataya. You have enlarged the nation and has increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest. I told you harvest time is rejoicing time. There are no dull moments. So stop putting on long faces. It doesn't matter what is happening in your life. The prophetic word is surer than what is happening. You see, the word of God must become more real to you than what you are going through currently. The word of God must become your reality. I've taught you that reality is the truth of God's word. Reality is not what is happening. Reality is not visible occurrences. Reality is what God said. Even if it looks as if no money in your bank account, no food in the house, but is that your reality? What did God say? He said, this is a year of supernatural harvest. You hold on to that word. You keep insisting. You put it before your eyes. You put it in your heart. You put it in your mouth. You keep prophesying it. You pray it out. See, it takes a continual insistence on the truth for it to manifest in this realm. Am I communicating? So you fight the good fight of faith. Reality is anything God said, irrespective of what is happening. And that's what you should believe. That's what you should put your faith in. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor it is harvest time o'clock. No, it is mega harvest time o'clock. It is supernatural harvest time o'clock. As you are saying it, let me ask you a question. Can you see the harvest? See, if you don't have a vision of the mega harvest, then what you are saying will not make sense to your head. Nobody doubts what they see. They say seeing is believing in the physical realm. But they learnt it from the real place, which is the realm of the spirit. The Bible says, why we look not at the things which are seen. The present challenges, circumstances, contrary situation, they are what? They are temporal. The things you are seeing, the lack, the temporary health challenge, family challenge, business challenge, challenge in your career, your job, your finances. You say they are temporal. Temporal means subject to change. Temporal means they will not last. They are not long lasting. They are subject to change by you. You can change it. I taught on power for change. Power for change, right? Miracle service. You can change any contrary circumstance. All you need to do, make tremendous power available and use the power to change it. If you don't know what, if you don't like what is happening in your life, change it. Stop complaining. Am I communicating? We are not victims in life. We have power. Use the power to change it. We are not victims of circumstances. We are victors over life circumstances in Christ Jesus. He said, in all things we are more than conquerors. He says, thanks be unto God which causes us to all triumph. We are the triumphant ones. Am I communicating? We are not defeated. We are not the defeated. We don't belong to defeated FC. No. We are not failures. We are not the frustrated ones. No. We are not victims in life. No. We are more than conquerors. We are victors. Am I communicating? Let the word of God be your reality. Let it be your reality. If God say, Shehu, what is this? Shehu may say, Bairo, but guess what? This thing is anything God calls it. If God calls this one, Rolls Royce, this man like us. Don't worry, God will give you Rolls Royce. If God calls this Rolls Royce, you better believe him. When they born you, do you... The ageless, changeless one, the monarch of the universe, the one, the high and only one who inhabits eternity, the one that began the beginning before the beginning began, the one that has no date of birth. You will know your date of birth. He tells you this is Rolls Royce and you are telling him this is pen because your eye is seeing pen. You are speaking according to the light you are using to see. Do you know? Do you know this is your color of cloth? There is a kind of light we will view it under. It will not be this color. Are you aware? There are different kinds of light. The reason why you are calling this cloth, what's the color? You are seeing purple because you are viewing it using the visible spectrum of electromagnetic, this light wave. That's why you are seeing purple. There is a kind of light we subject this shirt to. You will see a different color. You'll be shocked. So what you are seeing is a byproduct of the light you are using to see. And the light of God is His word. Get what I'm explaining. Stop viewing your life. Stop interpreting your life and the happenings based on natural human light. Use the light of scriptures. Interpret your life and the event happening in the light of scriptures. God's light is His word. What has His word said? Let that become your reality. Don't become like mortal men. You are different from the people of this world. You hail from a different kingdom. You belong to a different kingdom. Am I communicating? See things, interpret things through the word. Use the lens of the word to see. Use the light of the word. He said the Lord sent a word into Jacob. He lighted upon Israel. Am I communicating? Maleko bura palataya. He says, they rejoice before thee as the joy of the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the spoil. Let me tell your neighbor again, it is harvest time, and therefore it is rejoicing time. Look at New Living Translation. It says, you will enlarge the nation of Israel, its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, like warriors dividing the spoil. Can you shout amen? Now give me 2 Chronicles 7 verse 8. We'll read 8 and 9. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 8 and 9. Also at the same time, King Solomon kept the feast. Which feast is this? We'll find out. 7 days. And all Israel with him, a very great congregation. From the entering in of Hamath unto the river of Egypt. Verse 9. And in the 8th day, they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days, and the feast 7 days. Which feast? Okay, let's see. Message Translation. Start from verse 8. Let's read it in Message Translation. 8 and 9. It says, this is how Solomon kept the great autumnal feast of booths. Now you now see the feast. Which feast is this? Which feast is called? You remember I did teaching on prophetic feast of Israel with their spiritual significance, even in the New Testament. Which feast is feast of booths? It's tabernacle. Yes. It's feast of tabernacle. Sukkot. Yeah. This is a feast of booths where they make booths. Tabernacle. It's also called the feast of ingathering. The feast of ingathering. The feast of shelter, because they make shelter. Feast of tabernacle. And that scripture Pastor Shikrodne read, John 7:37, where Jesus said, he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And the Bible said, this is speak of the Spirit, which they that believe in Jesus should receive. Jesus made that statement during the feast of tabernacle. If you read John chapter 7 from verse 1, you will see Jesus went to attend the feast of tabernacle. It's a feast of booth, and then he made that statement talking about the outpouring of the Spirit that characterizes. I taught you that in ancient Israel, when they are doing that feast, there's this ceremony that the priest will go to that river. What's the name of that river now? They fetch water, they take it to the temple, then they pour it out, and then they will be praying for God to send rain. They will be praying, you know. So that rain is symbolic of the outpouring of the Spirit. And Jesus said, out of your belly. So the significant thing that happened during the feast of tabernacle or put is the outpouring of the Spirit. Because there can be ingathering without the outpouring. There can't be harvest of souls into the kingdom. You cannot have the feast of harvest without what? The outpouring of the Spirit. It is Spirit power that will bring in the harvest. It's the supply of the Spirit. Am I communicating? That will release the power of God, the wisdom of God, the grace of God, that will bring about the harvest. And the Spirit of God is the glory of God. Is one of the meaning of glory. Glory means the manifest presence of God. And if you read even Isaiah 60, you will realize that the whole of Isaiah 60 started by saying, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." And what will be the result? Watch this. "The Gentiles shall come to your light." In other words, the glory of God is the magnet of the harvest. It will pull the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? The unsaved world of sinners. The unbelieving world. So, can you see that? The glory of God, the power of the Spirit, the presence and power of the Spirit is what pulls the harvest to you. Is the magnet of the supernatural harvest. And then he said, "Kings shall come to the brightness of your rising." So whether it is harvest of souls, harvest of kings and nobles into the kingdom, he said it's the glory of God that will bring it. He's talking of the presence and power of the Spirit, the supply of the Spirit. And that's what the Feast of Booths is about. Am I communicating? Then if you keep reading down Isaiah 60, you see, it says, "Lift up your eyes, your sons and daughters are coming from afar." You keep hearing that word, "shall come," "are coming," "come," "come." It didn't say you will go. Is it the "we come"? In other words, the glory is the magnet. It will pull to you. Then he went ahead to show all different dimensions of harvest, including harvest of supernatural favors. You will see harvest of what? Wealth and riches. He said, "Your gates shall be open continually, that men may bring to you the forces, the wealth of the Gentiles." He says, "The abundance of the sea shall be converted to the all in response to the glory of God that you are manifesting." Harvest glory. I like to call it harvest glory. That's the glory that is upon us in this season. Am I communicating? Very powerful. Go back to our reading. Okay. It says, "How Solomon kept the great autumn feast of Booth. For 7 days there were people there all the way from far northeast, the entrance to Hamath, to the far southwest brook of Egypt, huge congregation." Verse 9. "They started out celebrating for 7 days and then did it for another 7 days." How many is that? "A week for dedicating the altar and another for the feast itself." That's the Feast of Booth or Tabernacle. 2 solid weeks of celebration. No, you didn't hear it. We are on how many days? 14 days, mid-year mega harvest fast. I prophesy, these 2 weeks shall be for you 2 solid weeks of endless celebration. 2 solid weeks of celebration galore. Say, you will celebrate in the morning. You will celebrate in the afternoon. You will celebrate in the evening. You will celebrate in the night. I prophesy the reign of celebration, the reign of congratulations, the reign of good news. Good news shall be bombarding you from front, right, and center. My God will be doing things that will be making you celebrate. I prophesy supernatural testimonies, mind-blowing testimonies, in the name of Jesus. It's a season of celebration. Come on, rejoice! Shout! Maleko Barakata. It's a 2 solid weeks of celebration. Malebo Sobolataya. You will not mourn in this season. I say you will not mourn. Listen, I'm not speaking as a teacher. I speak as an oracle of God, as a mouthpiece of God, as a privileged prophet over this commission, as an apostle over this ministry. I say you will not mourn in this season. You will not weep in this season. Your days of sorrow have ended. Sorrow and weeping shall not be heard in your life, shall not come near your family. Only the voice of celebration, the voice of joy, the voice of thanksgiving, the voice of rejoicing shall be heard in your life, shall be heard in your family, shall be heard in HDMI, in the name of Jesus. Even your financial mourning has ended. You will not mourn or weep financially. Your days of financial embarrassment are over. Your problems are over. I prophesy, receive financial supply. Receive a mighty supply. Receive a mighty surplus. Your season of abundant increase has come. Thank you, Father. Sit down. Shaleboko Sataya. Write this down. Shaleboko Sata. Brata Tatataya. Irokoputeke Breketeya. We started looking at what? The power of priestly what? Thank you. The power of what? Who answered? Who is that? Eh? Come and take. Buy biscuit. Some of you are sleeping. Praise God. Today, we started looking at those spiritual sacrifices we offer as a priest. The first one we looked at was the sacrifice of praise and worship. The second one yesterday was the sacrifice of our prayers and intercession. Today, we'll look at the sacrifice of our giving. Giving of our substance. The sacrifice of giving your substance. Money, whether it is money or material resources. Am I communicating? The sacrifice of giving of our substance. Do you know that worship is incomplete without giving God an offering? It's called worship offering. Is spiritual. Giving to God is an act of worship. Many believers don't know that. Okay, let's go to the other realm, because sometimes when you talk to especially Nigerians, when you use the example of kingdom of darkness, they understand it better and faster. Don't you see that when people go and see native doctor for the native doctor to solve their problem, whatever issue they have, don't you see that the native doctor will say, what did you bring for what? For the God. Put it here. Let me ask you a question. You must give an offering. There must be point of contact. You can't go and see a native doctor empty. Let me ask you a question. Where did Satan learn that thing from? You think it's original to the kingdom of darkness? No! Any principle that ever works, Satan borrowed it from God. It's a kingdom principle that Satan copied. Satan is a copycat. Copy, nine sabidu. He's not creative. He only copies and counterfeits anything that God does. Satan learned that thing from God, from the kingdom. God said, don't give me Deuteronomy 16:16. Don't appear before me empty. So you now see why people don't appear even before native doctor to consult Satan through them empty-handed. They learnt it from God. Who? Look at it. He said, 3 times in a year shall all the males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. In the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, in the feast of tabernacle, they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Give me verse 17. 17. Every man shall what? Give as he is able, according to your ability. You give according to your level. Some of you, you've been giving the same offering for the past 5 years. May God deliver you from poverty. God started blessing you 1,000 per month. You were giving offering of 100 naira. God increased your income to 5,000. Your offering is still 100 naira. God increased your income to 1,000 per month. Sorry, 10,000 per month. Your offering is still what? 100 naira. God increased your income. Now it's over 50,000 per month. Your offering is constant K. You kept it as what? 100 naira. God increased you in his mercy. You are earning 100,000 per month. But you have sworn that your offering will remain 100 naira. Now foolishness they do you. May you be delivered from foolishness. Let me give you wisdom. As God increases your income, increase your offering. Plan your offering. Many people don't plan their offering. Let me tell you the truth. Many Christians, over 90% of Christians, they don't plan their offerings and givings. They remember offering just few minutes to go into church on Sunday. So they will now give God chicken change, keke napep man change, bike man change. Because they didn't plan it. Now, ask yourself, why didn't they plan their offerings and givings? Shall I tell you the answer? It's painful, but it's true. It's because it's not a priority to them. Anything that is a priority to you, you don't leave it to chance. You plan it. You prioritize it. You schedule it. Are you aware that as you are receiving salary, as they send you money, as money comes, one of the things you should plan in your budgeting is your offering and giving. Your tithe, your offering, your giving. Get different envelope, put them inside. If you know you will be tempted to use your tithe, send it direct to the ministry account. Then when they are praying for tithers, come out and receive prophetic blessing. You plan it. Don't leave it to chance. Am I communicating? Don't wait until Sunday and then you are now thinking, you have already finished all the money within the week. You have finished the money. Why? Lack of planning. God said, don't come before me empty. Listen. Never believe that you don't have anything to give. It's the language of those the devil has vowed that they will remain in poverty. Everybody has something to give. Give according to your level. Give. Kenneth Copeland. Let me tell you the story of Kenneth Copeland. He was so broke before. In fact, he was not just broke, he was massively in debt. He said he was buried in a mountain of debt. He never believed he would ever come out, naturally speaking. It was that bad. And then God gave him revelation of the blessing. And then he started seeing the principles of kingdom financial prosperity. He started applying it. You see, when he started applying it, he didn't have much. He didn't materially, he was still poor. But he kept applying. He said he will go to church. He doesn't have money to give, but he said, no. He saw this scripture that God said, don't appear before me empty. He will remove his button, not even wristwatch. His the button of his suit. Who is wearing suit with button now? Good, thank you. He said, please, get up. See, Kenneth Copeland will remove this button of his suit and put it inside a free envelope. Thank you, sir. Can go and sit. Sometimes he will remove his wristwatch. Everybody has something to give. If it means go and sell your TV, do it. Never appear. See, listen. Because, listen. Don't spend more on yourself than you give to God. Let your standard of living not be greater than your standard of giving. Let your standard of giving be greater than your standard of living. That is how God ordained it to. Many people can spend, enter restaurant, blow 10,000, 20,000, 100,000 without looking back with friends and loved ones. But when it comes to giving to God, they will say, I don't have. You now see why they cannot rise financially. They are disobeying principles. God said, don't appear before me empty-handed. Giving to God offering is an act of worship. Worship is incomplete without sacrifice of your substance. Worship is incomplete without sacrifice of your substance. Kenneth Copeland started that way. Look at where he is today. Today is giving private jet like bicycles. He's the richest preacher in America. He's the wealthiest. Am I communicating? According to Forbes, he's the wealthiest preacher in America. He, the last time I remember, some years back, he had given over 30, how many? 30, is it 7 or 38 private jets he has given as seed, not cars. How many private jets? 38, not cars. Oh. And it's not 2023. Oh. This is more than 10 years ago, or more self that I can remember. How did it start? Because you understood giving, the power of giving. Nobody can prosper in God's kingdom without giving. It's a law. You can't break it. It's true. Even some of these billionaires in the world that are not even Christian, they give all. They may call it charity. They may call it corporate social responsibility. But there are percentages of their income. They even give more than 10% that some Christians are shouting. Are you getting me? Yeah, all those people, they don't give tithe, but yet they are billionaires. We are. Why should we give tithe? Sinners, listen. Our kingdom is different from their kingdom. If you want to prosper God's way in God's kingdom, you follow kingdom principles. Have you? Yeah, sinners are not doing that way. Yeah, they have money. Are you a sinner? Do you belong to their kingdom? Satan is not fighting their own. In fact, Satan will help hasten them, because their prosperity will destroy them. They are like guinea pigs in Satan's what? Poultry. He kills them. He does whatever he does. He can drain their finances in 1 second. He can even take their life anytime he likes. So he doesn't bother himself with their prosperity. The one that is headache to him is those of believers. And God have shown you how to deal with Satan and put Satan where he belongs and checkmate the devourer. Your tithe, your offering, other givings. But many Christians are still arguing, should we pay tithe or not? You see, Kenneth Copeland was a very faithful tither. The first American billionaire, John D. Rockefeller, billionaire in dollars, he was a tither. Faithful tither. He even built university, built church for you, built so many things. You see, even these Muslims, they understand the power of giving. Aliko Dangote, do you know that he's not just a giver to promote the agenda of Islam? After all, is one of their biggest givers. Islam is using money to spread across the world like wildfire. Many Christians are converting to Islam because of money power. They will promise you money. I have a medical doctor that called me within the week. He was going through some financial crisis and all of that. So he's doing home services, like he will go and attend to sick, wealthy people in their homes and all of that. One of his patients was a Muslim Ajia. He said, this woman, as if she knew that he was going through some financial difficulty. He has been working with her for a while. She now told him, one of those days he came to treat a family member that was sick. She told him that he should convert to Islam, that they are going to make him very rich. He will have money. I'm telling you. He was telling me this thing. He said he should convert. He said they promised him. He said they are going to do. She then told him that there are many Christians that have converted this way. Told him something funny. He said, even some of your pastors are secretly Muslims. He said, we gave them money. They are just deceiving you people. They understand the power of money. If you go to National Mosque in Abuja, you will see, what's that thing on top like that? That thing round like that. Do you know that thing is gold? Pure gold. They are trying to tell you that we have conquered the gold. We own the money. They are making a statement. They started building National Mosque and Ecumenical Center. The same time, they gave them land. The Muslims finished their own. Longest time. The Christians, year in, year out, were still struggling to build. I'm telling you, it was an embarrassment. It was Obasanjo that got angry. They had to start doing donation upon the... One Muslim will just remove money and say, please build the whole mosque. These guys will build a filling station and then build mosque by the side. How many Christians have built churches like that? Many Christians are not thinking kingdom. They are thinking of stomach infrastructure. I, me, and myself. They are that rich fool that Jesus talked about. That the ground of a rich man brought forth abundance. It was God's grace and mercy that was blessing him. His business was blossoming. His finances, everything. And I said, what will I do? This increase. It's okay. I know what to do now. They say, use your brain. So he used his brain. So I will pull down. This barn is too small. He can't carry this harvest. He said, I will build a bigger barn. I will say to my soul, soul, relax, be at ease. I have gathered for me, my generation to come. I, me, and myself. That's satanic trinity. I, me, and myself, and nobody else. I, me, and myself. He was thinking of only I, me, and myself. How many cars can you drive at once? How many houses will you live at once? Even if you have a mansion and God is going to bless you. You know a mansion? A mansion has multiple what? Some of you don't even know mansion. Go and Google it after service. How many rooms will you sleep at once? God prospers and blesses the children primarily because of kingdom agenda. My city shall through prosperity be spread abroad. Am I communicating? That rich fool, he died that same day. It's a foolish man. You've forgotten that there was no God in his equation. There was no helping others. He was just thinking of himself. He was not even thinking of God's kingdom, nothing. And he died of heart attack that day. Don't become like the rich fool. Am I communicating? God is a spirit. Do you know that God doesn't need your money? All those things you are giving, he doesn't need it. But you are the one that needs it. This was the revelation that changed my life. I was listening to Bishop Oyedepo. I listened to him very well because he's an apostle of wealth and he understands giving. After listening to him for a while, I then got it. I realized that he came to understand that your giving does not help God. It's you that is helping. Your giving is not helping the church. It is you that is helping. You are the one that need to honor a law. The law of giving. tithing, etc., and other forms of giving. You are the one that needs to activate the blessing of the Lord over your life by honoring that law and principle of giving. So anytime you give, you are not doing God a favor. You are not even doing the recipient a favor. You are doing you a favor. That was what he saw. And that was what me too I saw. It changed my thinking from that day about giving. When I give to anybody, it's not the person I'm doing a favor. I'm doing me a favor. Because I've obeyed a law. I've activated a law. And I'm going to reap my harvest. And the blessing will be activated through giving. Through your tithe, through your sacrifice. Am I communicating? If you understand this thing, you will start seeing giving differently. So anytime it's time to give, you will even be rejoiced because you are seeing vision of your harvest. You are not seeing vision of you losing something. That's the problem. Many people, they don't give or they are afraid to give. Should I tell you the problem? Because in their mind, they see a vision of separation and loss. Nobody decreases by giving. There is he that scattereth, yet increaseth. In the kingdom, we increase by scattering seed. Before we started our radio broadcast, ask Pastor Nenkup, we were supposed to commence, is it which month? Is it April? Was it April or May we were supposed to start? April, I think it's April. We had the money, everything on ground to start, but the Lord said no. He said, sow seed. So we turned the money for broadcast into seed. As in, we had the money for paying for 3 month broadcast. God said, turn it into seed. Said, give this one, so amount. Give this one, so thousand. Money, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 zeros. Sorry, 7 figures. Seeds in 7 figures. We scattered it like 3 different places. Specific people. So into this man of God. Give this one, so amount. Give this one. That was how we scattered all. We delayed it. And then, boom, harvest came. And we are still reaping. And we will continually reap. The first time Joyce Meyer went on air, after a few months, no money to continue. She went to God, she was praying. Why are partners not responding? Why is money not coming? God said, which seed have you sown before you went on air? So there was no harvest. So he said, oh, wisdom came to her head. She started sowing seed. Sowing for the broadcast. And the next time she went on air, she never came, never dropped. Till today. Rather, she's everywhere. Am I communicating? Your giving is always for your good. You are doing yourself a favor. How else will you come out of lack and poverty? Let me tell you something. The reason why sometimes you have, sometimes you don't have, is because sometimes you give, sometimes you don't give. So the key to having consistently is by giving consistently. Many people are not consistent with their tithing and giving. Do you know research shows that less than 10% of Christians, what is even 10? 5%. Is even 5% tithe faithfully? Less than 5% of believers are faithful tithers. And do you know that if all believers in church, if we have at least 10 to 20% that tithe faithfully, a lot of churches will have enough money to carry out the things, the project God told them to do. But why is that not happening? Because many of God's people are not faithful tithers. So we remember to tithe. Anytime they hear message on tithe, they will do it for 1, 2, 3 months and then they will stop. They will go back to default setting. May that never be your portion. Just like some are hearing about giving and tithing now, they will now make up their mind, I will tithe. They will only do it for a few months to come, and then they will forget again. That same forgetting problem. May that never... Any spirit that is making you not to be consistent with your tithing and giving, I curse that spirit. I banish it from your life. Receive grace for consistency. First Chronicles chapter 16. First Chronicles chapter 16. Shabarako sofrahatia. Lambroskote la kapalatia. Iko fratila baratisko freteketea. Agabarakatai shakrando sofrahadia. Zopuretiza branteke poska paladia. Sovrahadi shokopote. Verse 16:29. He said, give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Help me. 1, 2, 3, go. Bring an offering. Praise and worship is incomplete without giving God an offering. Look at it there. And come before him, worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. You see, worship is incomplete without giving God an offering of your substance. Psalm 96 verse 8, repeat the same thing. Psalm 96 verse what? Verse 8. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name, bring an offering, come into his court. So giving is an act of what? Worship. Hallelujah. Your giving is not a donation, it's an oblation. Did you hear what I just said? Do you know what an oblation means? Evening oblation, evening sacrifice. Oblation means a sacrifice to a deity. Your giving is not a donation, it's an oblation, a sacrifice unto God. It's part of our priesthood. Listen, listen. If I have $1 million in my account, it remains $1 million. To the realm of the spirit, it means nothing. It means nothing. Spirit beings, they don't attach value to all these material things, including money. What is $1 million to a spirit? Demons, angels, God, Satan. It means nothing to them. But look, look, watch this. If I carry that $1 million and bring it before God, I put it on the altar as sacrifice, then it will now mean something to the spirit realm. That's the fact that I choose to deny myself all the things I could have spent that money on to satisfy my need. I now made a sacrifice. I now decide to give it to God. That self-denial, that sacrifice of giving it, it will now attract the attention of the realm of the spirit. I have scored a point. I have scored a point. I will secure favor with them, those to whom I gave that money. Your money represents you before God, in the presence of God. Your money represents, that's the money you give, not the one you kept at home, not the one in your pocket, not the one in your account. The one you give as offering, the one you give to God, it represents you in the presence of God. Are you getting me? And it's a very spiritual thing. Very spiritual thing. Somebody say, are you still, how far? You have not given birth up till now. Our auntie is talking to her. After how many years? 10 years of marriage, no children. We've gone to different doctors, so they say we should just keep trying. Yeah. We've been praying to God, nothing has happened. The auntie then said, there is somewhere I can take you to. There's somewhere I can take you to. Me, I'm a Christian. I don't go to all this native doctor house. Say, no, it's not native doctor. It's just one baba. He will do something for you. You will have your children. In fact, he has been helping barren women. Me, I cannot go there. It's okay. I can go on your behalf. But you will bring money. Just bring 20,000, maybe the things that the baba will say we should buy. Just bring 20,000. Say, but me, I will not go. And if it is the money I can give you, I will not go. You have gone. Listen, if your money is involved, you are implicated. Because when your auntie carried that money to that native doctor, the native, what did you bring for the gods? Offering 20,000. That 20,000 is representing you. Those demons, you think they will leave you alone? You have sacrificed to them, they will come for you. Even though you didn't go physically, your money went. So there is problem. That's why I said giving is very spiritual. It's a spiritual act of worship. Am I communicating? Very powerful. Honor the Lord with your substance. Give me Proverbs 3 verse 9. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruit of all your what? Increase. One major law that governs tithing and giving is a law of honor. A major way you honor somebody is by giving to them your substance. Honor the Lord with your substance. Give God honorable offering. Don't behave like the children of Israel during the days of Malachi, that they were giving to God animals with blemish, blind, deaf. God say, is this not evil when you offer to me? Animal that is deaf, blind, he said, take it to your governor. Will he accept it from him? A governor is an honorable, right? He said, even your governor will not accept this kind of your defective sacrifice. How much more me? He said, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. God said, if I be a father, where is my honor? In other words, fathers are deserving of honor. It's a principle. Fathers are deserving of honor. In this ministry, there is a percentage of our ministry income that we give as prophet offering to honor our spiritual father every month. The Lord gave me that revelation. Am I communicating? Pastor David B. Omi said he was praying. He heard the testimony of Bishop Oyedepo. When Bishop carried Kenneth Copeland's book, Gloria Copeland's book, carried his Bible, went on 3 days fasting and prayer. He said, Lord, show me the secret of kingdom financial prosperity. And God showed him. He saw it. The guy blew. The B.O.M. said he was a pastor. When he got tired of poverty and lack, he did the same thing. He said, God, show me the secret. He has read all Bishop Oyedepo book, yet he didn't see it. He said, what's happening? He went with a desperation, and God asked him a question. He said, who is your spiritual father? He said, Bishop Oyedepo. He said, who is feeding you spiritual? He said, Bishop Oyedepo. He said, start honoring him every single time with a particular, with your substance, as in start giving to him as a prophet over your life. And that was his own secret. Today, he don't blow. Look at where he is. There was a time he carried seed inside private jet to go and sow to Bishop Oyedepo. And Bishop looked at him. He said, I wish that many of my pastors, my sons here, they understand and do what you are doing. They will have gone farther. The grace of my life will work more for them if they had understood this thing. Because sometimes you can think you are close to the anointed, but if you don't obey some laws, you will be surprised that you will only be hearing the testimonies of others that understand this principle. Am I communicating? Revelation must power giving. Honor the Lord with your substance, with the first fruit of all your increase. And what will be the result? Verse 10. He says, so shall thy barns be filled with what? Plenty. And thy presses shall what? Burst out with new wine. Give me an amplified. Amplified. Verse 9 and 10. Start from 9. Amplified. Are you learning something? We are talking about money. See the way everywhere quiet. You know, there are people that they would rather do 100 days fasting and prayer than to give to God. God, the voice of God, go and they are worshiping God. Oh, Jesus, I love you. Even tears is coming. Then God say, empty your account and give.
I'm about to change your level, but you need to honor this law. Go and sacrifice. Empty your account. What? They will start casting and binding. You know, people have casted and binded the Holy Spirit. Especially when it comes to this, Satan will never tell you to give. In case, okay, let me help somebody. In case you don't know how to hear God, let me help your life. Any voice telling you to give is the voice of God. Any leading you have to give is the leading of the Holy Spirit. Satan will never tell you to give. Never. Not even your mind. Your mind will not easily tell you to give. Because human beings are naturally selfish. Praise God. Any voice telling you not to give is the devil. If you have problem hearing the voice of God and you know how to hear Satan per second, it's very simple. Anything Satan tells you, do the opposite. The pastor was trying to teach on hearing God. He said, some people, they don't hear God, but they hear the devil. He said, okay, let me help you. Since you are hearing the devil clearly, anything the devil tells you to do, do the opposite. So, if the devil says don't give, that means God is saying give. Honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiency from righteous labors and with the first fruit of all your income. What will be the result? Next. Verse 10. It says, so shall your storage places, your bank account, be filled with plenty. This is the secret of plenty. And your vat shall what? Overflow with new wine. You will hardly see somebody that walks in ever increasing levels of the anointing that is not a giver. If you are not a giver, there are some levels of the anointing you can't walk in. Not because God hates you, but because of your greed. The anointing, greedy people, selfish people, people that are stingo, you know stingo? People that their hand is like this. What do they call it in Hausa? Masunroa. They hardly walk in the anointing. Ask Judas. Ask Gehazi. How can double... No, what portion is Gehazi supposed to receive? Elisha received double portion. Gehazi is supposed to receive what? Quadruple portion. But what did he end up receiving? Leprosy. Why? Greed, covetousness. They always miss out of the anointing. Even if you anoint their head with one drum of anointing oil, you lay hands, lay feet, even lie on their head, they will still not receive. Greedy people, selfish people. There are some graces and favors that givers always enjoy, and their life is secured. Givers don't die anyhow, because God is unwilling to do without a cheerful giver. There are angels that protect givers so much. I'm telling you, don't waste your time criticizing a giver. If the person is a giver, their success and prosperity is sure. No matter what you say against them, it will not make sense. You can't stop their progress. Am I communicating? Life favors givers. My mother was a giver. I used to be angry. I didn't understand the things I knew now when I was younger. In the barracks, all these barrack children, stubborn children, they have disobeyed their parents. The parent punish them, say, no food for you. All of them will come and gather in our house. Hey, mama see, my brother's name is Steven. So the short form is C. They used to call my mom Mama C. Let's go and eat in Mama C's house. Our parents have denied us food because of our food disobedience. They punished us. So you will see all of them. Plenty children like that. Including the one that have already eaten in their house. Come and see. my mother will now reduce our own ration. That's the one that used to pain me.
Anytime I see them, I start fuming. I become angry. Because I know our ration will reduce. My mother will give everybody food. Everybody with their place. As if we were running a charity home. I didn't understand some of those things. It was when I grew up I understood. And my mother went home to be with the Lord at 81 against everybody's expectation. Nobody expected my mother to live up to 81. If those that went for my mother's burial and funeral in our village, you will hear when they were giving a biography, how when my father came to marry, they were even discouraging him that he shouldn't marry. This woman will not last. She will soon die. My mother, she is the only survivor of all her siblings. She said she cannot count how many of her mother's children died before she was born. But she counted all the ones that died after her. Those that were born after her. All of them, one by one, died. Whether it is demonic issue, whether it is health issue, she doesn't know what was killing them. But me, I know it's demonic. She was the only survivor. She was always sick as a child. She would be sick as if she's going to die. And her father was a rich man. So, and she was a lady. So when all the male children died and she's the only survivor female, the uncle, they came and claimed all her father's wealth and left her with nothing. But one thing I knew about her was she was a giver. I was small in primary school. We always go and see my mother in the hospital, hospitalized. At a point, it became a normal thing. She will be sick as if she is going to die, but she will not die. As if she is going to die, sometimes they will transfuse her. Sometimes she will be gasping as if she is going, she will come back. So, anytime she recovered, she was fine and all of that. Anytime my father or my siblings go to the village, they will be asking, "That your mother, is she still alive?" Well, one of my eldest brother got angry one time. He said, "Now you won't kill him. That your mother, is she still alive? Now you won't kill him." My mother was a giver. Givers enjoy long life. I'm telling you. If you read Psalm 41, you see some blessings of giving to the poor. Givers don't die anyhow. They live long. Accident, even if they cast some assault 20 times, they will not die. Others can die, but not givers. Your giving secures your life. I'm telling you the truth. Your giving does so much for you. It's not just the material and financial returns. It's more than that. It secures your health. It secures your life. Nobody ever believed my mother will live that long. Nobody. But now I understand. She was a giver. My mother couldn't do business, so it will become charity. I'm telling you. She tried different business, you know what? Started, people will come, even passers by. Kuzoku Karuba. And she will insist until you collect. You can't come to my house and my mother will not give you something. You must leave. She must fetch one mudu of rice, two mudu, even if the thing is not. See, you don't give because you have more than enough. Giving is based on understanding. We won't have much, yet you must fetch from that one and give the person. It's a grace. Some people, if every one naira that lives there is as if they cut, they cut them with knife, they feel the pain. They enter car with another person. It's time to pay. Say, just that is 1,000 naira note I have. Oh, I beg, you have smaller change there? But in their heart of heart, they don't want to pay. In the heart of heart, they don't want to pay. You have 1,000. Why would you pay for everybody? Let me tell you one story. When I was working in Mangu, I used to, if I'm in a hurry, I carry drop. they charge me, I don't care. The time is more important to me. I carry drop. So I carry drop one time, I'll go, just saw this mama, elderly woman with load serve on the road. Almost every car was just going and she would stop. They don't want to carry plenty load. So as we're passing, we have passed her. The Holy Spirit said, go and carry that woman. I told the driver, please stop, turn. Go on. That woman will pass. Let's carry her. Carry her, she entered. Then we came to just drop her. She thought it was commercial. Of course, it's commercial. She wanted to pay. I said, no, I said it's drop. I was the one that carried. I've already paid. The woman said, my son, God will bless you. She didn't look at me. Are you married? Then I was not married. Say, let me pray for you. He started blessing me, prophesying, all of that. I say, amen. I look at my wife today. Praise God. I say, praise God. Some of you, you don't know what you are missing by your stinginess. How can you be stingy even to God? Some married people, some men are stingy to their wives. Abba! As a woman, let me beg you in the name of the Lord. Let me kneel down. Don't marry a stingy man. See, let me tell you something. I didn't say rich man. I said don't marry a stingy man. Stinginess has nothing to do with what they have or don't have. It's a thing of the heart. Don't just say, hey, me, my goal is to marry a rich man and blow and escape with escape velocity the poverty of my father's house. Because that is some lady's calculation. Listen, you'll be surprised that you can marry a rich man and yet he's stingy to you. There are rich men that are stingy to their wife. Look at the big jeep they are driving. They'll go and get one pakutu. But that is, some say will not even give their wife any car. The wife is entering Keke Napep. Yes, entering commercial. You say, your husband has 5 cars now? Say, for where? He has refused me. He say, I should never touch near those cars. Stingy man. Stingy man. He will be spending money on prostitutes, carrying women everywhere, side chicks, but to give his wife money. Problem. Even the one he gave her, he will be saying, bring change. Don't marry a stingy man. And men, listen to me. Kindness makes you attractive to women. Kindness makes you attractive to women. Not just your fine boy face, 6-packs. Are you kind? As a lady, marry a kind man, even if na 5 naira you get. See, when you see somebody that is a giver and is kind, you will know. The little he has, he will share with you. It's not about having plenty like that. It's the heart. Are you getting me? It's the heart. Kindness makes a man attractive. Praise God. Don't be a stingy. Don't be too stingy. Praise God. Give me that Hebrews 13. Is it verse 15? 16. Okay. 16. Give me Hebrews 13, 16. Let me show you something here. To do good and to communicate, forget not. Now, give me this in Amplified. Amplified. He said, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. In other words, your givings is a sacrifice. Do not forget or neglect to be kind and good, to be generous, distribute, contribute to the needy. Of which the church. And then he said, with such sacrifices, are what? Pleasing to God. Philippians 2 verse 4. Philippians, okay, give me Philippians. Which one do I pick now? 1 verse 6. 1 verse 6 first. Philippians 1 verse 6. Okay. Give me verse 5. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day. Okay. Give me this in Amplified Classic. This fellowship there is talking of
they are giving actually partnership. Good. The word is partnership. I want to bring out. I thank my God for your fellowship, your sympathetic cooperation, and contributions and partnership in advancing the good news, the gospel. From the first day you heard it until now. They heard the gospel Paul preached, and then they started giving, partnering with him financially, contributing to the advancement of the gospel. Do you put how much of your money are you contributing in partnership for us to preach this gospel we are preaching? You hear the announcement, we are now on Avalanche of Glow Good News Radio broadcast. How much of your money have gone into it? Or your own are just to chop Obiageli? Who is Obiageli? Somebody that came to chop, right? Don't be like that too. Just like there is an amount, there is a part of your money you should pay bill, pay light bill, NEPA bill, house rent, this one. There should be a part of your money that should go into what? Partnership. If you are not a partner, become one. There is so much power in partnership. Partner with us. We are on air because people are giving. Let it include you. Am I communicating? Let it include you. Let it include you in advancing the gospel, because it requires money. Nobody will give you free airtime because you are preaching the everlasting gospel that will save lives. Be a big time giver. Be a wholesale giver. Am I communicating? Praise God. A prompt to do it giver. Giving requires promptness. Do you know, from the time that you promise to give in church and when you go home, so many things can happen and you can change your mind. That's the truth. Satan will start talking to you, your mind, your flesh. You demand, you say you will give how much? 50,000. 50? Have you forgotten you've not even finished paying house rent? Children's school, your food has finished. You know, there are so many voices that will discourage you. That's why many people don't end up redeeming their vows that they make. Why? Because they were not prompt to do it. The thing we're giving, let me tell you something. As the urge and the instruction come, and you are led to give, that's the best time to give. Do it immediately. Don't postpone giving, oh. If you postpone it, you will end up not doing it. That's the truth. Satan will come and discourage you. Your mind will discourage you. Problems of life will... You don't give because there are no problems. In fact, it's even your giving that will bring you out of those problems and difficulties. Am I communicating? So, partner with the gospel. Philippians 4:15. 4:15. Rise to your feet. It says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So they were his partners. Next verse, giving and receiving. There is no receiving without first giving. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. So they were partnering with Apostle Paul. Okay, next verse. It says, not because I desire a gift. Can you see that? Your giving is not doing the man of God a favor. It's doing you a favor. But I desire fruit that may abound. To whose account? Your account. Anytime you give, you are depositing into your heavenly account. Next verse. It says, but I have all and abound and full, having received Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell. Can you see that their givings was a sacrifice? It even has an odor. It's spiritual sacrifice. Can you see this? It's a spiritual sacrifice. An odor of a sweet smell. A sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. God showed me this scripture some years back, and I saw a powerful revelation.
The revelation is that last part, well pleasing to God.
Wonderful.
They gave to a man of God called Apostle Paul, even unto his necessity. And Apostle Paul said they have given to God. So when you give to a man of God, you have given to God. That was what I saw here. I have all I abound. I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. And he said, it has become a spiritual sacrifice, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. And as a result, verse 19, look at the special prayer Paul prayed for them. You know, givers enjoy special prayers and impartation from man of God, from pastor, that non-givers don't enjoy that kind of prayer. Hope you know. It's true. Because it touches their emotion. He said, but my God shall supply all your need. My God, that you just gave to through me, shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. He didn't pray this prayer for other churches. He prayed for Macedonian church because they were his partners. Am I communicating? Very powerful. Very powerful. Lift up your voice. Say, Father, let the giving grace rest upon me. That grace that was upon the Macedonian church. Put it down. That giving grace. Father, let that giving grace rest upon me. Let the giving grace rest on me. Let the giving grace rest on me. Let the yoke of selfishness and greed, let it be broken. Let it be broken. Let it be broken. Let the giving grace rest upon me. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in all diligence, he says, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace. Which grace? The giving grace that was upon the Macedonian church. Paul had to pray. He had to say, ensure that you abound in this giving grace. I want you to cry out, Father, let the giving grace rest upon me. In ever increasing measure, in ever increasing measure, in ever increasing measure. Malatuze frendo ko sepeletia, branda kapalido prokoto sepeletia, bratas kote kida, lapatizo brekete, lagum brekida sapalatenas, jeli krondo sofeteni, androsketila kapatai. Let the giving grace rest upon me. Let the giving grace rest upon me. In the name of Jesus. You see, when it is time for you to change levels, most times God will demand a sacrifice. Not because he needs it, but because you need to honor that law. When God was about to release sworn blessings on Abraham, he said, bring your son, your only son, Isaac, and sacrifice him on Mount Moriah. When Abraham obeyed, God said, now I know that you fear me. God said, I swear. In blessing, I will bless you. Because giving activates the blessing. In multiplying, I will multiply your seed. Psalm 126, he said, they that sow in tears, from verse 4 to 6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He says, when the Lord, he started by saying, when the Lord turned again our captivity. In other words, this is how to do it, sacrificial giving. Sacrificial giving is a captivity turner. Whether it is financial captivity, family captivity, marital captivity, captivity in your health, business, finance. It says sacrificial giving is a way. Read down verse 5. Look at it. They that sow in tears. Why is tears coming out of their eyes? Because they are giving a sacrifice, not just a casual seed. And a sacrifice touches your emotion. He says, they shall reap in joy. Verse 6, he says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I want you to say, Father, one more time, let the grace to be a faithful giver, a consistent giver, a tireless giver, let it rest upon me
the grace to honor you with my substance. Malatuze brekete lagobo rokoto brando kosevila baratia branta kate lekopote igranda kapata brakato zevila buratata tai ingrasko pote keburakatai. In the name of Jesus. In 1 Kings 3 verse 3, the Bible says, and Solomon loved the Lord, and then to prove his love, he went on sacrifice 1,000 burnt offering to God. You prove your internal love for God by your external giving to him. Love is fake if he does not give. Giving is a chief expression of love. Major reason why we give is an expression of our love. Giving is also an expression of faith. It's an act of honor. He said he gave 1,000 burnt offering. Look at what happened next. Verse 5. That same night, God showed up in Gibeon. The Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. God gave him a blank check. And then he said, give me wisdom. And God gave him wisdom and wealth such that he became the wisest and the richest man, the wealthiest man in the Old Testament. I want you to lift up your voice. Father, that this giving grace that makes great, that is the secret behind kingdom giants, kingdom financial colossuses. Let it rest on me. 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 Every yoke of greed and selfishness, let it be broken. Let it be broken. Let it be broken. In the name of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able, look at verse 8. God is able to make all grace, all grace, all grace. In other words, giving is a doorway to all grace. Make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficient, all things may abound unto every good work. Give me an amplified. Giving is the key to receiving all grace. You want all grace to flow to you? All manner of grace. God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing. Givers enjoy unimaginable favors. They enjoy so much material, financial blessing, every blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever they need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support. My God, may this become your testimony. And furnish in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. I want you to lift up your voice. Father, let this giving grace rest on me, so that I will always be having. Maliko baligadai. Let it magnetize to me every grace and spiritual blessing. Ezule peletiza balateno sopolidi kilatoza bragadia. Zopoteke brekete eloko brogodo gobrogodo. Jelekundo brakida sabaladia. Iloboko sabala gabragadia. Iloboroko to brakata kabarakato sufrekete kebalagada. In the name of Jesus. God ministers seed to the sower first before he gives bread to the eater. Some people are sowers, some are eaters. But the mercy of God can still help eaters. But he said God will first give seed to the sower. To the sower. To the sower. I want you to lift up your voice. Father, help me to be a sower. And sowers don't lack seed to sow. If it is in your heart, God will put it in your hand. If it is in your heart, God will put it in your hand. God told David, it was good. It was in your heart to build me a temple. Even though I have ordained that it is not you, but Solomon that will build the temple. But God marked him right. He said, you did well that it was in your heart. You did well that it was in your heart. If it is in your heart to be a sower, God will put the seed in your hands. God will put the seed in your hands. In the name of Jesus. Listen, Bible scholars tell us that Mount Moriah, where God told Abraham to go and sacrifice Isaac, that same Mount Moriah was where David sacrificed that sacrifice at the threshing floor of Onan, where he told Onan that I will not. He told what's the name of that guy that gave him the place? He said, I will not offer unto God that which cost me not. It was the same place, that threshing floor of Onan, where he erected an altar unto God, and the plague stopped. That plague of judgment, because David had numbered the children of Israel, and Gad, the prophet, Isaiah, he told him what to do. Nathan, he said, go and erect an altar, give God a sacrifice, and the thing will stop. And where he offered that threshing floor of Onan that he bought, is that same Mount Moriah. And guess what? It was that same place that was his name. Solomon built that magnificent temple. There's something about the altar of sacrifice that many people don't know. It's that same temple place. He built the temple of all places. That was where God said he should build it. Because altars are erected. Ayagabadaya. This is what will upturn generational curses. It will destroy curses and plague. It says, as long as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest. When Noah offered to God sacrifice of clean animals, God smelled the good savour and God said, I will not destroy the earth again. And God said, every curse is reversed. I want you to lift up your voice. Say, Father, every demonic altar erected against me, every generational curse, spell that is working against me and my family, I erect a new altar of sacrifice. By my seed, by my givings, by my sacrifice, let those curses be broken. Let those plague, the plague of sickness, let it be destroyed. Ikole fila barakida safrando sopotea. Let it be destroyed. Let it be destroyed. Let it be destroyed. In Jesus' name we pray.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sagon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.